Ramsey TV.
Good morning, Body of Christ. Here we are at the last day of the week, and going to finish up what I've been hammering, and sometimes I think, you know, maybe I'm overdoing it, spending too much time on it, and then somebody says to me, Zender, this is so important, you're on your game, never seen you so focused, thank you. So I thank you for the comments, that you indeed think this is important. It is one of the most important things, the nature of this good news that we believe. God has given us the faith to believe. Speaking of good news, our brother Seth Follenkamp from Des Moines, Iowa, arrived here last night, Thursday night. Actually, it was evening, early evening, got here around, it was afternoon, I guess. Yeah, it was around 4 o'clock, and I was so excited to go to the airport to pick him up. Now, this is the Zender way. When you visit me, I don't drive my car outside, and you come out with your suitcase, struggling with it, and I'm honking my horn. That's not how I greet my guests. No. Without fail, I park my car, and I will greet you at the gate. I just love receiving guests. You will get the VIP treatment if you come visit me. I gave it to Seth. It's great meeting him. Met him for the first time. He's sleeping right now, right over there in my cottage. I gave him my bedroom. I'm sleeping on the sofa. That's how I treat my guests. It's fine with me. It works out for me because I'm the early riser, so I have access to the kitchen and everything. So actually, it's selfish. Actually, it's not that altruistic that I would give you the bedroom. So that's how it works here. We're going to make some videos over the weekend. So on Monday, you will meet Seth as well. But the first order of business was getting him off the plane and to the ocean, because he doesn't have an ocean out in Des Moines, Iowa. So had to take him to the ocean, and it's spring break here, which is, that's an unfortunate thing, because there are all sorts of college girls walking around here, and let's say, how should I put it, revealing swimwear. But of course, Seth and I are holy men. We are men separated unto God, and so of course we bounced our eyes in accord with, you know, every man's battle. So we definitely bounced our eyes. I want you to know that we bounced them from one girl to another one to another one to another one. So we maintained our holy disposition. I think there were some dudes on the beach too, but if there were, we didn't notice any of them. So I'm going to finish up with Clyde's email, or his daily goodie, and I'm going to point out to you some problems, only because it's instructive. I want to move quickly through this. I know I said that yesterday, and then I commented the daylights out of it. Now, I'm going to continue. This is Clyde Pilkington in a daily goodie titled Doctrine and Fellowship. In fact, not only are doctrinal differences not to be hindrance to fellowship, this is only the case once you're in the body of Christ, as I've been pointing out. It is quite the opposite. We can be thankful to God for them, for they provide the greater contrast of the Spirit's operation of love and grace. Well, because, and he quotes, he has a verse here, 1 Corinthians 8:1, which says this, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Oh, boy, do I have to comment on that. But first, I will say that it's hard for me to thank God for doctrinal differences. I mean, we thank God for everything. We can thank God for World War II. I thank you, God, for the rise of Adolf Hitler. I mean, absolutely speaking, thank you for the disruption of the world. Thank you for the crucifixion of Christ. Thank you that Lizzie Borden gave her mother 40 whacks. And when she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. Thank you, God, for it. Now, you know, relatively, no. I'm not thanking God for doctrinal differences. I wish everyone would come to a unity of mind. And it's not just having the mind of Christ and a disposition, but as I'm going to show you, when I go to the book of Ephesians, I'm going to show you that it has to do with teaching. It does have to do with teaching. So it's not just having the mind of Christ. It's not just having a humble, deferential attitude toward each other. That is involved, yes, and we should be humble and deferential to one another. But teaching is not outside of the purview here, okay? I want to make that clear. Now, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. How many times I have heard this? That knowledge puffs up. And Paul is just stating this as a fact. Knowledge does tend to puff up. The more you know, the more you kind of feel good about it. And it does puff up. But love edifies. But the mistake some people make here is when they see knowledge puffs up, they, in order to correct it, they think, okay, well, therefore we should not get knowledge. That is what is happening in this whole argument. I think this is a big part of it with Enoch, with Clyde, and with others in the body of Christ. Paul's just stating this as a fact. Paul says, we know that we all have knowledge. So Paul is acknowledging, this is 1 Corinthians 8:1, acknowledging that the saints have knowledge, and well, they should have knowledge. We should have more knowledge than anyone on the planet as far as what God's doing in the world today, what Christ is doing, and what he's doing through us, and the teachings of Christ through Paul. So we all have knowledge, and then Paul follows it with knowledge puffs up. He states it as a fact. Knowledge does puff up. What's the remedy? Some would say the remedy is, well, let's quit getting knowledge. Let's not have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. So if we don't have knowledge, then we won't get puffed up. No, that's not right. But unfortunately, some in the body of Christ are so emotional and so sentimental and so anxious to avoid offense that they would just throw away knowledge. I'll never forget, I was talking to some woman probably 20 years ago, and she said she was in church at the time. I don't know why. In our church, she says, we never argue. Nobody's ever puffed up. We're always at peace. I said, well, how in the world do you manage that? And she said, well, we never talk about doctrine. Okay, great. So what do you do? You never talk about doctrine. So here's an example of knowledge puffs up. Therefore, let's just jettison knowledge. This happens in the Pentecostal church where there's no knowledge, zero knowledge. They're all just a bunch of children in a playground with funhouse mirrors and cotton candy looking for the next thrill, the next soulish thrill, not spiritual. So, yes, get your knowledge. This is my recommendation to you. Martin Zender's recommendation. I have taken this recommendation to myself. One, get your knowledge. Two, get puffed up. Go ahead. Three, love edifies. Love edifies. Love goes over any sort of puffing you will have, and it will cause you to be deferential and humble toward fellow saints and also toward other people in the world. I mean, what we know compared to other people in the world, it's like comparing a supercomputer to a chimpanzee, or it's like comparing a nuclear submarine to a deep sea mollusk. The world is like deep sea mollusks, and we're like nuclear submarines going through the water with the knowledge that we have. And so we could be puffed up. Maybe sometimes we are, but we have to. With love, it causes us to look at the world in a different way. It's like, those poor deep sea mollusks, they just don't know anything. The poor chimpanzees out there. We're supercomputers. They're primates. Yeah, that's terrible. Thank God he's been gracious to us. Love edifies. And I have another postscript there, is that people sometimes say to me, I've shared this with you, Martin, I don't want to give you a big head here. I don't want to puff you up, but, and then they proceed to tell me how my books or have changed their lives or the lives of their families, and they just gush their thanks and their appreciation of my labors over a quarter century, and I'm always grateful to them, and I always say to them, you know, just try to give me a big head, just try, because if I'm lucky, I will be puffed up for literally 15 seconds. But I've been so, and each one of you can share a tale here, but so humbled, so dragged through the war that I hardly have any, pride left. I mean, seriously, you can't give me a big head, so go ahead and try, please. Go to a thesaurus, look up every synonym to fantastic, wonderful, beautiful, everything you want to apply to me. And just go to the thesaurus and just write it out to me, tell it to me. No matter what you do, it'll last for 15 seconds. I'll appreciate it, I'll absorb it, but then it's back to the humblest, most humiliating, most non-puffed up walk you can ever imagine. That's my walk. I feel like if I can get some kind of puffedness going on, it just brings me to a level where I'm just above water. Because usually it feels like I'm under water as far as my enthusiasm for this life, my happiness, whatever. I'm deep down content in the spirit. I know what I know. I know my God. I know my Christ. But sharing a personal thing with you here, I feel like I'm underwater. And the only thing that's going to get me out of it is the return of Jesus Christ. But I do have a breathing tube connected to the surface. I do have that. I thank God for it. But when someone compliments me, tells me what a blessing I've been, it doesn't set me on the clouds. I'm not dancing on the cumulonimbus cirrus cumulus clouds. I am just got my nose above the surface of the water. I can breathe a little better. That lasts for, as I said, 15 seconds and then back down. I don't know why this is, but it is. And I have to be content with that. What have I told you? To be content with your discontent, to be at peace when you're not at peace, and not worry about your worry. Seth brought that up last night. He says, man, Zender, when you said that, it just made all the sense in the world to me, and it, you know, changed the way he sees things. So, am I happy that I brought that to him? Yes. Did it make me feel good? Yes. Then the 15 seconds passed, and, you know, off we went to the beach. So, no, I don't really thank God for doctrinal differences. Not in the relative, no. I say, God, why can't we all agree? Why can't everybody just agree with me? Why? All too often, the fruit of God's Spirit is associated with doctrinal agreement. But even the world without God's Spirit manages to get along with those with whom they most agree. I can buy that. We mostly agree. Great. We're thankful for that. We can get along with people. Yes. To be like-minded does not necessitate that we be in doctrinal agreement. Well, let me read this again. From our brother Clyde. To be like-minded does not necessitate that we be in doctrinal agreement. Well, no, it doesn't necessitate that we be in perfect doctrinal agreement. But as I said, I'm going to read you some passages from Ephesians that strongly suggest that doctrinal agreement is included, not sold separately. But rather that we have the same mind, and that's the mind of Christ. As Paul says, and he quotes Philippians 2, 5 through 8, great verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He quotes a snippet there of Philippians 2, 5, 8. It's just the mind of humility. So these are kind of two different topics. When we talk about a mind of humility and a mind of love, which should overshadow everything we do. Not overshadow, but should be the overriding disposition that we have toward other saints. That should always be there. But underneath that umbrella, I would think, strive to come to a unified mind, because the antithesis of that, Paul's going to bring out here in Ephesians, would be to be blown about by every wind of teaching. See, he includes that in a passage that seems to be, he's only talking about being of a humble mind toward the saints, but it includes not being blown about by winds of teaching. That's what I'm trying to prevent happening with you. And that bugs me more than anything, honestly. people, those who are blown about by every wind of teaching. We think that teaching, we love teaching, and we love to hear things, but at times I think the saints can become almost like the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers on Mars Hill, where all they wanted to do was hear something new. And it's exciting to hear new teaching. And we get what we would think is a rut of just the same things. You know, I'm sometimes, over the years, I repeat some of these same themes. And some people say, well, we wish Zender would break new ground. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I think I'm seeing a nuance, a detail that I haven't seen before, and I bring that out to you, and it's exciting, yes. But basically, this is a being rooted and grounded, being founded on the elements of truth and never forgetting these. And so it's very tempting to want to be blown about by every wind of teaching. And new teachings will blow through, they'll come and go, and if you're anchored, if you're steady, if you're sure, if you're on the foundation, you won't go with it. But I find this is what bothers me most in the body of Christ, is that people think they have to entertain every wind of teaching, that they owe whoever is sending the wind out. And wind can come from various parts of the human body, I might add. They feel they have to follow it. They owe them to, well, let me smell that teaching. No, you don't have to smell it. You don't. If the Spirit of God within you tells you that there's something off with this, then boom, shut it down. You don't have to consider everything, especially something that immediately clashes with something that you've been founded on and grounded in for years, like the sovereignty of God. As I've told you, I know people who were founded on the sovereignty of God, or so I thought, but no, they weren't at all. It was like a hobby to them to talk about the sovereignty of God. Then some wind of teaching comes by that, well, God's not really sovereign. He's finding out what's happening in the world just like everybody else, i.e. open theology. You know, what's it called? Open deism, open theology. I don't know, this whole thing where God doesn't know what's going to happen. It's ridiculous. I'm glad I can't think of the name of it because it's stupid. So no, you don't owe just everyone a hearing. If it clashes against what you know by the Spirit of God, you ignore it. I'm going to make this video short. I'm going to stop here. I have more to go. I thought I was going to get done with it, but I'm going to talk about these things with Seth over the weekend. I will bring this up. I'll finish. I'll go to Ephesians like I had planned. I'll get his thoughts on the matter. We will talk about that. And that'll have a dual wonderment, because you'll be able to meet him at the same time. He's a live wire. Believe me, I am a calm person compared to Seth. He's not a calm guy. He's so excited to get here. He came down the gate, and when he made eye contact with me, he whistled. And people were like, what the hell? He whistled. Then he gave me a big hug. This he's very demonstrative, which I love it. He's a very open person, very honest person. That is so refreshing. And you're going to enjoy fellowship with him. And so you're going to meet him on Monday. We're going to make, I hope, at least two videos. I'll complete my thoughts here on how important it is that we at least strive to come to one mind on teaching, on doctrine. But lacking that, within the body of Christ, lacking that, yes, I am with my brother Clyde here in that we must exercise humility with each other. The mind of Christ is the mind that Christ lowered himself, and that Paul says in another place, we are to consider others more important than ourselves. We're to be meek, we're to be gentle toward all, still apt to teach, yes, apt to teach, but also gentle toward all, understanding that the human condition is very frail. Mine is frail, yours is frail, and we do what we can. So we will cut each other some slack when we can without compromising important teachings. And by doing this, we're going to make it. We are going to make it to the finish line. And as I always say, as I'm giving you the pep talk, I'm also giving it to myself.